Hello, everybody. I'm George Myland. I'm commenting on a news story came out a few days ago, and that is how Russia withdrawn from a airbase in northeast Syria. Russia's had military bases in Syria since the 70s, which was the Soviet Union, because Hafez al-Assad, the father of the recent dictator, he seized power in 1970, head of the Air Force. And though Syria wasn't a communist state, it had very close relations with the Soviet Union and its principal successor state, the Russian Federation. And Russia was really determined to keep its military base. So for a long time, the only military bases outside the former Soviet Union for Russia. Now their recent expansion of their mercenaries into Africa, but they really liked having that there, plus their air bases on the Mediterranean. Though they had army bases and air bases in other countries like Kazakhstan or Armenia, they didn't have any naval bases anywhere except for Russia. And I know those two examples didn't even have coastlines. And then one of the major motivations for Russia to fight like hell to try and save the Assad regime was it feared the loss of these military bases. And although they had an amicable relationship with Syria, they were playing both sides of the streets. They were also very friendly with the Israelis. And so on. So we know that over a year ago, Bashar al-Assad fled to Moscow. We see he's still sheltered, trying to keep a low profile there. But the new president of Syria, Ahmed al-Sharaa, has developed a surprisingly cooperative relationship with Russia. Because if it wasn't for Russia, the Assad regime would have been overthrown much sooner. That 14-year-long civil war would have been much shorter. Far fewer people would have been killed. It was really the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Russian Air Force that saved Assad for a long time. So Ahmed Sharaa is in there. Now, he was denounced by the Russian government as though he was the devil. They must have to do anything to stop him. There were countless atrocities committed by the Russian armed forces and the Syrian armed forces against their own people to prevent Ahmed al-Sharaa and his predecessors coming to power, and they failed. So you think there'd be a lot of acrimony, but there'd been astonishingly good body language between the two, and he's visited Moscow twice, and Russia's decided to move on, because Putin, in a sense, is pragmatic. I know in other ways he's extremely blinkered and ideological when it comes to Russian hyper-nationalism, but he's also ideologically promiscuous. He's willing to work with neo-Nazi groups in Western Europe. He's willing to work with far-left groups anywhere, like in North Korea or whatever, with the Taliban, and people who are viciously anti-Muslim, whoever, so long as it serves his agenda of strengthening his totalitarianism. And so that's why he's found it expedient to just simply move on and accept Sharaa and just not talk about the past. And Sharaa has realized his little option. He's rebuilding his war-torn country. The place is absolutely tattered. He just doesn't need more enemies. So why have they given up this base? Is it was there any pressure from the new Syrian government? What have they started attacking it? And okay, Russia could hit back. Russia really doesn't have the bandwidth to do that. They're trying to concentrate everything on Ukraine. Anyway, so the sense of civil war is not quite over. Obviously, in Iraqi Kurdistan since 1991, the Kurds have been virtually independent. In the northeast corner of Syria, the Kurds are a majority as well. And they effectively seceded in about 2011, staying out of that civil war, and both sides left them alone, linking up with their confrere in Iraq, while they're worrying for Syria, because, so not Syria, for Turkey. About 20% of Turkey, that territory, was mostly ethnically Kurdish. Not all Kurdish Turks want independence, by the way. And indeed, there's a Kurdish area in Iran as well. So and now Sharaa is trying to retake this Kurdish majority area, and Putin has publicly applauded it. We have closely monitored your efforts to restore Syria's territorial integrity, and I want to congratulate on the momentum this process is gaining. Close quotation. I wonder why he doesn't support Ukraine's territorial integrity. So Sharaa has said that Russia played a historic role in not only in Syria's unity and stability, but that of the entire region. Well, I'm surprised that Sharaa could say that without vomiting, because the so-called unity and stability was backing Assad to the hilt. So Putin gambled very heavily on Putin, on Assad winning, and he lost. But actually, Russia hasn't lost, as you might think. Those are the military bases. They're retaining one Ahmeymim air base and the Tartus naval base. But the other airbase they're closing down in Qamishli. And it's not quite clear, is the Syrians demand it there, or is it just because they want to withdraw the assets to use in Ukraine? It's certainly a weakening of their position. And of course, they prefer to retain more of a foothold, but they need everything for Ukraine because the losses have been so high. There was a US institute just estimated Russia's death toll 350,000 and they're wounded at 1.1 million. And the Ukrainian losses, the death toll, about a third of that. They're wounded about a quarter of that. So noticeably, the ratio of killed to wounded is higher amongst Russians, partly because they don't provide decent medical care, what the Ukrainians do, save them out of humanitarianism. But also, if we can get this guy rehabilitated, we could just fight again, and we're such a shortage of manpower. So it shows how Russia's situation in the Middle East is enfeebled. You know, Israel's lost a lot of friends, and Russia's not been very vocally supportive of Israel. So that has been to the detriment of their relationship with the Israelis. Russia's not been terribly helpful towards Iran when it thought that there might be a revolution there. What can they offer Iran? The Iranians obviously complaining bitterly. The government, anyway, we helped them a lot. If it were not our Shahid drones, the factories helped set up there, they wouldn't be able to prosecute the war in Ukraine. But they're not throwing a lifeline to the regime when they should. Do the Russians have such a lifeline to throw? They don't have much money to spare. They don't have any military assets to spare and so on. So you can see, but the situation obviously is not hopeless. They've still got those two bases, not with a lot of assets, but the Ukraine war will end one day. Could they build them up at some point? I don't know if they're having to pay the Syrians for the privilege of this. I mean, there's some Syrians who say, no, the Ruskis can be out totally. We have no foreign troops in our country. They should withdraw their American troops without serious permission. And al-Sharaa, when he met Trump, didn't complain about that. I suppose he didn't want to irk him. Turkish troops occupying a bit of northern Syria, Israel occupying the Golan Heights for over 50 years and have stolen even more land. You see, how many armies is that already? So if they can't get all foreign soldiers out, could they start getting them out a bit? Start with the weakest, and that's the Russians. So, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a setback for Russia, whatever brave face Putin may try to put on it. But I suppose the benefit of that is it has ensured fairly good relations with Syria and secured the long-term future of the other bases and a few more assets to use in Ukraine. I mean, just likewise, Russia's position in the former Soviet Union is not as strong as it was, but they can't be written off yet. Still, those military bases in Armenia, their relations with Armenia is the worst they've ever been since the end of the Soviet era. You know, countries like Kazakhstan, not impressed with them. They still allow Russian military bases there. The Kazakhs obviously worry this Ukraine war ends, Russia's not going to win an outright victory. Will they come after Kazakhstan? Because Russia will have an enormous army, battle-hardened army, and that's somewhere to go. And who's going to save them? Would the Chinese mind? Maybe they would. That's the only thing that could save Kazakhstan. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Then I PayPal, George Callan, 790 Miller.com. Goodbye.